Listeners, welcome to the next in the series of Dashing History podcasts. My name is Andrew Southam, and this week I'll be talking you through a fascinating exhibition about Stonehenge at the British Museum, and what is a tremendous world of belief, technology and connection to communities across Europe. Never before has a national museum revealed the civilization of the people who built and worshipped at Stonehenge. But now, a groundbreaking exhibition at the British Museum unveils a prehistoric society, not only of mysterious ritual, but a society of technology, tools, social change, and links across what we today call Europe. Late Stone Age people, that is Neolithic people, lived sometime between about 4900 BC to 2000 BC, when they began building stone and wooden monuments, not only across Britain, but across Ireland and across Europe. Over 1,000 of these stone circles remain today, and they stretch from Wales to Scotland's Orkney Islands, and from the Karnak stones in northern France to temples in Malta. Stonehenge is probably the largest, followed by nearby Avebury, and then stone circles at Stanton Drew in Somerset. And what the exhibition does is it brings the world that created those circles alive for us, and it does it by, for the first time ever, bringing together 430 different objects, not only from Britain, but from the great European collections. And among these is an astonishing object, which is probably the earliest known map of the universe, called the Nebraskai Disc. And what's fascinating about this object is that it combines Cornish tin, which produced it, with knowledge from then, or what today we would call Scandinavia, the Mediterranean and Egypt. And it was found in Germany. And as far as we can tell, it was probably an astronomical clock or calendar. And besides this calendar are two of only four known gold-shaped hats. That's a gold-shaped hat. And we think that these were probably worn by Neolithic priests or priestesses in sun worship. None of these artefacts have ever come to Britain before. But that doesn't mean that there aren't very impressive British objects. One British object, for instance, is a very finely crafted dagger from Bush Barrow, which is a 2000 BC burial site near Stonehenge. And what's incredible about this dagger is that on its handle were thousands of gold studs, so minute and so carefully crafted that you had to have perfect vision, which means it was either done by a child or, jokingly but still plausibly, by a very severely short-sighted adult. And again, the international credentials of this dagger come from the fact that the gold came from Ireland and the dagger itself was made in Brittany. Most beguiling, though, of all the objects in the exhibition is the timber circle, which hasn't been seen outside of Norfolk before. Some of you may remember that in 1998, a ring of oak trees, suddenly emerged from the shifting sands of the Norfolk sea line. And in the middle of these rings sat an upturned tree, which was possibly used to lay out bodies. Locals, rather gruesomely, used to think that birds would pick at the flesh, which would then help the passage of the spirit of the dead person to the next world. And it's been dubbed Stonehenge of the Sea, or Seahenge, with the site dating back to about 2049 BC. And what all of these images do is they offer a tantalising glimpse of what this early human settlement was like. Now, we know that hunter-gatherer tribes arrived by foot from what is today modern-day Belgium about 10,000 years ago, And think about it, that 10,000 years ago was while Britain was still connected to the continent, before we became an island thanks to a huge tsunami caused by a rock fall from Norway. Once we were an island, a second wave of immigrants then came from modern-day Turkey about 6,000 years ago. And these marked the start of a farming community because they brought with them seed and cattle. They selected Salisbury Plain as a sacred place of worship and burial and began erecting monuments about 5,000 years ago. Why there? Why in Salisbury Plain? Well, that still remains a mystery. What we do know is that they actually built and rebuilt Stonehenge many times over about 1,500 years. Now, if you think about it, that is the same distance between us today and Roman Britons. When they started constructing Stonehenge, the first construction was really a huge ditch. Then in 3200 BC, they quarried large blue stones, probably up to about 3 tons or more, from what we now know is the Presley Mountains in South Wales. But how did they bring those stones 200 miles from Presley Mountains to Stonehenge? There are different theories. One is by water, or more plausibly, by using sledges over a 60-day journey. Of course, there is a third explanation, more doubtful but more enjoyable, which comes from medieval chronicler Geoffrey of Monmouth, who suggests that King Arthur and his amazing wizard Merlin used magic to transport the stones. Well, whatever the truth, the next major construction came about 500 years later. And this is where you have that huge, huge upsized stone called Sarsen Stone. Now that's sandstone from the nearby Marlborough Downs. Stoneworkers shaped these multi-stone monsters, and they could have been anything up to 30 tons in weight, into large circles around the original bluestones, and they added lintels, which made them look rather like modern-day football goalposts, and the image that you see today, which is so mesmerising. And equally mesmerising is the fact that they were built, that's the image that you have today of Stonehenge, was built the same time as the Egyptians were building the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid in 2500 BC. Equally astonishing is that experts think the builders came from all across Britain. And they know that because there was a temporary camp at nearby Durrington, where, as far as we can tell, there were 1,000 homes. Now think of that, 1,000 homes in the Neolithic period. That was the largest settlement in Northern Europe. So what force organised 4,000 strong but not literate people into a common enterprise? That's 4,000 people across 1,000 homes, when the population numbered only thousands. Was there some great mysterious force, perhaps the equivalent of a pharaoh? Or were these people guided by religion? Intriguingly, no one has any confident answers, or, to be perfectly honest, can even explain the true purpose of Stonehenge. We do know that the stones were carefully aligned to capture the midsummer solstice, which suggests worship of the sun and stars, but why is still not clear. There is evidence of a burial site, and other possibilities include a place of connection with an afterlife, a place of healing, a pilgrimage site, or a memorial. The riddle may never be solved, which has its advantages and disadvantages. But why activity stopped at 1500 BC is a riddle that can be solved. Because what we do know is that Stone Age society began to give way to the Bronze Age. And the Bronze Age lasted from about 2500 BC to about 800 BC. And when a third wave of immigrants, and again, still farmer immigrants, arrived from Central Europe. And these were called the Beaker people because of their very distinct beaker pottery. And what they brought with them were new social and religious practices, along with metalworking, which now replaced the original stoneworking. These people almost completely overtook Neolithic communities. So if you want to really learn more about this extraordinary world and the changes and the technologies and the rituals, you need to get yourself down to the British Museum and look at the exhibition called The World of Stonehenge, which runs from the, well, which ran from February up until the 17th of July this year. I hope this broadcast has whetted your appetite to get down there, and I hope you enjoy what should be an amazingly satisfying experience. Until the next time, thank you.